Verse 6. We read God's word. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped, and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." So Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord." And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark, while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth, until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." So he caused the Ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually, and the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the 7th day they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys, with the edge of the sword. So far the reading of Holy Scripture, God's Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the battle for Jericho, as we just read it from God's Word, the battle for Jericho was an unusual battle. It was a strange battle as battles go. It was strange and unusual by any standard. It's not just strange to us today. It's not just unusual for our modern day standards. It's not something that only we in our day read and hear about and say, well, that was a strange battle. That was definitely unusual. Certainly also in the day that it happened, it would have been considered strange and unusual. We can be sure that Israelites long ago and Canaanites along with them would have thought this to be a highly unusual battle strategy. Some of the Israelites, God's people, might very well have wondered as this was unfolding or as this was told to them. They might have wondered, do we really have to do that? Just march around the city once and then go home and wait and then do it again, all over again tomorrow and the next day. Israelites might very well have wondered to themselves, maybe they talked to each other, is this really going to do anything to Jericho or for us? Is this going to do us any good? Some Israelites might very well have thought, well, this is weak. This is weak. This is not a display of strength at all. Canaanites inside Jericho and Canaanites around might also very well have wondered, what are those people doing? What do they think they're doing? And then this morning they're doing it all over again. Wonder if they'll do it tomorrow morning. What are the odds? Just march around the city and go home. That sure is strange. Those Israelites, they are strange people. In fact, it's all rather silly, foolish of them to do that. Do those Israelites really think that doing that around Jericho, marching around Jericho, do they really think that's going to do anything to us? The battle for Jericho might have seemed weakness to some and foolishness to others, both inside and outside the city. A strange, unusual battle. Like the cross of Jesus Christ, considered weakness to some and foolishness to others. Isn't that what we read in the New Testament, the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1? The cross of Jesus Christ, that's weakness to the Jews. It's foolishness to the Gentiles. But, says the Apostle of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ was God's power, and the cross was God's wisdom. Nothing weak or silly about the cross at all. In fact, Resurrection Day proved it. How powerful, how wise the cross. Well, that's Jericho as well. The battle for Jericho. Ask any Israelite after the seventh day, or ask any Canaanite that's left after the seventh day. They might say, well, yes, that was unusual. That was strange, going around the city, marching like that. But that sure ended up being something. Incredible. In fact, it was brilliant. What power. What a strategy. What results. Not that it is for us or for God's people or for Canaanites, for that matter, to judge, to evaluate God's method, God's manner, God's strategy. God does not bow. He does not have to bow to our standards of brilliance or power, wisdom. He doesn't need our approval. Yes, Lord, that was a brilliant battle. He doesn't need that. Which is perhaps largely the point of it all. God will do it His way, which is not our way. And it doesn't fit within the values or the standards of the kingdom of this world. He does it His way, which is not our way of doing things or of winning the victory. Now, one of the questions that comes up with the battle for Jericho is, why was there that battle in the first place? Why did the Lord want to bring down the city of Jericho? And why did there have to be all that destruction and death? Jericho wiped out. Why? From the end of Joshua 5, which we read, chapter 5, the appearance of the commander of the Lord's army to Joshua, we, along with Joshua and all Israel, learn that this is God's holy war against the kingdom of darkness, in which Canaan had a place. So it's not simply, as Joshua asked the commander of the Lord's army, Joshua said, are you with us or are you with them? And the answer was no, which probably means wrong question. It's not us against them, Israelites against Canaanites, in which we claim the Lord on our side. No, it is actually the Lord God's war. It's His war against the kingdom of darkness. That's the war going on behind the battle for Jericho. And Canaan had chosen steadfastly for the kingdom of darkness, for Satan, against the Lord God. Israel was chosen by the Lord to be His people for His kingdom. Therefore, Israel had a role to play in the Lord's holy war against Canaan. God's judgment was now coming against the kingdom of darkness, and Jericho fell first in line of the war of the Lord against Satan. Jericho did not want to give glory to God, and so Jericho had to be flattened. Jericho had to be removed from God's domain to make room for a people in Christ who will give God the glory, God's people Israel. See, this is what characterizes the battle for Jericho. Not all the battles will go exactly like this one with Jericho, but the nature of this particular battle makes something really stand out. All the glory will be God's. All the glory will be the Lord's. So yes, on the one hand, the battle for Jericho was strange and unusual. But it was very purposefully God glorifying. And that's the point of how things went. While the battle of Jericho spelled God's judgment against the kingdom of the evil one, it was also the doorway into the promised land, into the kingdom of God for God's people Israel. This is symbolically where the kingdom of God for Israel opens up, kind of begins. This is the doorway for new creation, for God's new people in Jesus Christ. The repetitions of seven, as we read through there, you will have noticed lots of sevens in there. The repetitions of seven, with especially the 7 days process, certainly does give it a creation theme. God is doing something new, and it patterns the first creation, 6 plus 1. Day 7 here has the most activity. Day 7 is the day when Israel's rest in the land, in new creation, is secured for God's people, as the enemy is sent away, is laid flat. God's people can move in to new creation, prepared by God, all for His glory and for His people's rest in the land. So all of this is the larger context in which to see the battle for Jericho. God's judgment is against the kingdom of darkness. And God is giving the kingdom as a gift to His people. And all of this is a reminder for us that we, as God's people too, we're about God's business, taken up in His cause. God's holy war against the kingdom of the evil one. God is fighting against Satan. And there are people in the mix, in God's creation, people in one camp or in the other camp, God against Satan, and the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It all revolves around Jesus Christ, who is the greater Joshua. Those who are in Christ, those who are with Joshua, and those who are outside of Christ, those who are fighting against Joshua. God is coming in judgment. There is a day coming when God's patience ends, and those who are steadfastly against the Lord God will be judged by the man whom He has appointed and chosen, Jesus, the greater Joshua. And God has chosen a people in Christ for His kingdom, and He is preparing the kingdom for His people, those who march by faith on the side of Jesus Christ, on the side of God. There are a number of specific things that are good for us to pay attention to in the battle for Jericho. First, in terms of what the Lord God is up to in this battle and in this strategy. The battle for Jericho begins, as the text shows, it begins with the word of God, God's word to Joshua. The Lord comes to Joshua and He says, "See, Joshua, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the mighty men of valor," which is a word from the Lord, an incredible declaration. "See, I have given Jericho to you." This was before anything had happened yet. Nothing. Nothing was done. It was nothing to see. "See, I have given..." Nothing. Nothing to see yet. The Lord speaks His word as if it has all happened already. And actually, it has all happened already because this is the word of God. See, and the Lord is well aware of the strength of the enemy. The Lord mentions the king and the mighty men of valor. The Lord is not unaware of the obstacles that are in front of Him, in front of His people, the walls of Jericho. The Lord knows very well, and still He says, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand." That's how it works, the Lord's war, the Lord's battles. Everything that happens from that moment on is already settled in God's word. So that when it has all happened, Israel can look back and say, "You know, that happened just like God said it would. God said that before everything happened, and now that it's happened, it's just like God said." God's word. That's what He wants His people to focus on going forward. His word. You know what God said. If you know what he said, and that it's God who said it, then you know he will do it, like he said he would. You know what God is going to do. See, sin and Satan and death would not scare and overwhelm us so much if we would just keep going back to God's word. See, I have given the enemy into your hand. Pay attention to God's word in Christ. Take it seriously. We will be victorious. We will possess our inheritance in glory because God said, and whatever he says happens as he said it would. God's word. Then there is God's strategy. The Lord very clearly has his own plan for the battle for Jericho. Some of the details of which we might have questions about, as perhaps Israelites way back then had questions about what was going to happen and what God's people had to do. Maybe Israelites had questions as well. Why does the Lord want to do it like this? Why does the Lord want us to be so quiet? Not a word from Israel for the first 6 days marching around. Why? And then at the very end of it all, we have to shout a great shout. How come? And why do these people have to be over here and the priests over there and the armed men over there and the Ark of the Covenant, God's throne among his people? Why does it have to be just there? Why the ram's horns? Why seven of them? One thing is clear in all of this. The Lord decides the plan. And the Lord spells it out, and he's going to execute it as he wants to do. Man doesn't get any input. Joshua doesn't sit down with the Lord and prepare a strategy. It's all spoken to him from the commander of the Lord's army. This is what's going to happen, Joshua. Another thing that's clear also about God's plan in this battle, it's almost more of a worshipful ceremony than it is a battle march. And yes, there were soldiers there, but it was more of a ceremony with the Ark of the Lord positioned just so and the priests having a prominent place. An Israelite might well come home at the end of the day and say, well, that felt a whole lot more like going to church than going to battle. It was a worship ceremony. There was something quiet and solemn and reverent about it, a different kind of focus and anticipation, expecting heavenly things to happen on earth, not because of swords, but because of the Ark of God. God's strategy. And then it would be God's victory. When this particular plan goes forward, when this strategy goes forward, the end of it all is a great victory for God without the help of any man, really. The walls of Jericho do not stand up before God, right? Israel didn't do anything to the walls. The walls fell flat before God. All Jericho's strength melts before the God of Israel. It will be God's victory. It's like a hand not human but divine causes the kingdom of darkness to fall down flat. Just like that little stone smashing the huge image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream many years later. Can read it in the book of Daniel, that little stone that came rolling and smashed the image of kingdoms and pulverized them so that there was nothing left but dust. It's the same as what God does here. God's incredible victory on display through the not very glamorous strategy that he designed all by himself, which in the end is all for God's glory. at the end of the day, all Israel, or at the end of the week, all Israel would have to say, what a great victory the Lord God has won. What a great God the Lord God is. We didn't do anything. We certainly didn't come up with this plan. The Lord God did it all. What a great God. And then finally, all of this, which came by God's word, which was according to God's strategy, which was for God's victory and His glory, it is all given as a gift from God to His people. It is God's gift to us. He wins the victory. And then He says, see, go in. I give you the land. And all God's people can just walk in and take the land for their possession. Here, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, Joshua. Here is the land of promise, and nothing and no one can get in your way. God Himself gives us the kingdom, new creation. Maybe that's what some of the silence was all about. It's not our efforts. It's not how excited, how worked up we can get that gets us into the kingdom of God. It's God's gift to us. So kind of like just be quiet and receive it from God. It's not how worked up and how strong we can be, how effective we are. No, the Lord does it and He gives it, and we just be quiet and receive the kingdom. Maybe that's also what the loud shouting at the end of all the marching is about. Not our effort, not our energy, but we do boast in the Lord. We boast in the Lord God. It's God's victory and then His gift to us. And when God does His work and then gives it to us, we cheer and we say thank you very loudly. The battle for Jericho shows us what the Lord God is up to in His new creation work. It is the very same in His victory in Jesus Christ for us. God has won the victory for us by His own peculiar strategy, a cross for His Son. It's not a way that we would ever have dreamed up, much less accomplished. And yet what a victory God has won, and what glory it brings Him. And what a great gift He just gives us by grace. The battle for Jericho also reveals something about what we are called to, what our role is. And some of this we have mentioned already. God's fight for us, for the kingdom of glory, does also take us up. Not that it becomes our work, but the Lord does take us up in His work. The Lord God did not just circle Jericho all by Himself, which He could have done. He could have lifted up the ark and made it go around Jericho all by itself. He didn't do that. God's people were all involved, marching, carrying His throne presence on their shoulders, right? When the ark moved, it had to be carried on the shoulders of those designated from the priestly family. So God's people were all involved in carrying the ark and marching in front of it and behind it around Jericho. And God's people were all included in a certain order. You go over here and you go over there, and the ark goes over there. All are included with special assignments. What then altogether is required of God's people in all of this? Well, one thing that is required, first of all, is that God's people, that we listen to His word. Remember, it all started with God's word. Joshua, this is what's going to happen, and this is what you should do. It begins with God's word. So for us, it also begins with listening to God's word. Listen to God's word. The Lord God said two different kinds of things to Joshua. The Lord first said, well, this is what I will do for you. See, I have given Jericho into your hand. That's God's promise his promise word. But the Lord also said, and while I'm doing this, this is what you shall do. You shall march and you shall blow trumpets and you shall be quiet and then you shall shout. That's God's command, his command word. Two kinds of words from the Lord for his people to listen to and to submit to. God speaks promises and God speaks commands. Promises in which we must trust and commands which we must obey. Right? Trust and obey. And often that's wrapped up together, right? It's not like you can always draw a straight line through promises and commands. How do we know that Israel trusted God's promise to give them Jericho? How do we know that they trusted God's promise? When they marched in obedience to God's command. When they marched in obedience to God's command, they showed that they trusted God's promise that he would give them the land. Listening to God's word, very important, it's crucial for us. You want a place in God's victory, you want a place in God's kingdom, you listen to his word. And there's no room for us to argue with God's word. Right, we said we might have questions. Israelites might have questions about God's strategy for taking Jericho. We would probably think we could come up with a better strategy than God came up with. Something more profound than marching around Jericho. Sometimes we think we are too sophisticated for the weak and silly march of God around Jericho. We probably think we could strengthen it up a little bit here or there, God's plan for taking the city. Or perhaps we really don't see the point of doing it this way, that we have to march around the city 7 times on the 7th day. We could find a better way to do that, be a little bit more efficient. Why 7? Maybe 2 is good. Right? We could come up with certain thoughts. Why so repetitive? Let's make it more efficient. See, we shouldn't argue with God's word. So many people want to argue with God's word, with the Bible. Well, this doesn't fit our modern, postmodern categories anymore. We're a little bit beyond all that old stuff. Or we don't have time for that. We just live at a faster pace than they did in those days. So we don't have time for all of that. Or that's just a little bit outdated, Genesis 1. Better leave some parts out. No, don't argue with God's word. Just listen to God's word and Jericho falls. Right? You listen and Jericho falls. If you don't listen, well, you can keep reading in Joshua and find out what Achan did with some of Joshua's stuff, or Jericho's stuff, took it into his tent. Achan didn't listen to God. And Achan not listening to God, he fell and ended up under a pile of rocks. Right? You listen to God and Jericho falls. You don't listen to God and you will fall. Do it God's way. Listen to his word. Besides listening, there's of course a lot of waiting. There's lots of waiting in all of this, which goes along with moving forward and then trusting and then waiting some more. Go forward and then wait for the next day. And then go forward again and wait again on the 3rd day. And just when it seems like it's getting a little bit old to do this, do it again. Do it again. Some might think that this gets a little bit boring to do it again and then to just wait. Shouldn't we be doing something? Shouldn't we be doing something? No, just go forward and wait and advance and trust and obey and then wait some more. Wait for the Lord's time and go forward on his time. Who says that routine and regular and repetition kills religion? That's maybe what our imagination or our impatience would come up with, but God says, do it again tomorrow. Do it again. And the next Sunday, come back and do it again. Trust in God and wait. His way is just fine. His way is the only sure and guaranteed way into the kingdom. Wait for God. Just advance in trust and obedience and in a quiet, waiting spirit. What else? Well, worship God and anticipate. As we mentioned, walking around Jericho was more of a ceremony. It was a march and there were soldiers, but it was a marching ceremony in which the priests and the ark had more of a central role. It had a worship character with a worship center, the Ark of the Covenant, in the prominent place, in a triumphal, worshipful, ceremonial procession. The Lord, His ark, in the place of honor. Israel's march around the city of Jericho was a ceremony in which God was known to be present and shown to be present in the ark. He was reverenced. God is here among us. We reverence Him. We honor Him. And with that comes the connection to the heavenly throne on earth. There was the anticipation of the heavenly kingdom breaking in here on earth, where we are with God in our midst. God is going to win a victory here on earth. It's going to be a heaven on earth event. It's going to be the victory of the kingdom of God. This is why we march. This is why we worship. This is why we anticipate. Israel, in the march around Jericho, kept the heart and the eyes fixed on the Lord and on heaven, the breaking through of God's kingdom. And that kind of worship and anticipation was rewarded splendidly. God is here. Heaven touches down here. God's heavenly kingdom is victorious here. That's what Israel received through worship and anticipating. When we've gone to church again today and we come home at the end of the day, we've not only advanced again in our trust and obedience for today and for the coming week, but we've been here engaging heaven, with heaven coming closer to us again. Right? We engage with heaven and we advance in trust and obedience, but it's like heaven comes closer. We advance to the kingdom by faith and trust and obedience, and through worship, heaven comes closer to earth. The routine and the regular makes things happen as we engage heaven's throne and honor the God who is here as we worship Him. On the one hand, it was a strange battle, the battle for Jericho, nothing that we would ever come up with. But when we submit to God's word and take our place in His peculiar battle for Jericho, we do see a window open up into heaven and to the future. But we do need to be engaged on the side of God and Christ. Listen to His word. Trust in His promises. Obey His commands. And wait for Him. Wait for His time. And all the time anticipate His kingdom and worship Him. Today, when we go home again from the worship services, it will be the same as last time. And it will probably be the same as next time. We can say this, though. We have worshipped at the heavenly throne. And heaven has come a little bit closer again. And we can also say this. We have gone to church today and worshipped the Lord. And we have marched around Jericho again. It won't be long now to final victory and kingdom fullness. Just march on and worship the Lord God, and then enter into your rest in glory. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 75, stanzas 1, 4.